to worship and adore the Lord our God.
Thank you for joining us for today's Pulpit Hour, a message from God's Word brought to you by The Preaching Channel. To listen to this message in its entirety again, to download it, or to choose from a variety of other messages, or to listen to preaching 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, log on to WGCRpreaching.net.
We find ourselves this morning in the book of Esther, and I pray that God would use this scripture to help us in a mighty way. We find out in the book of Esther, if you've ever had the opportunity and privilege, I love the book of Esther. Amen. Just one of those Old Testament books that I love to read in. And as it says, Scofield says, not one time in the book of Esther do you see the name of God mentioned, but yet His handprints and fingerprints and His very breath is over the entire book. We find here now this book is of the deliverance of the Jews and from the bondage of Persian rule. But in the book of Esther, you're going to find out now there's the king by the name of Ahasuerus that is in charge here, and he's married in chapter number 1 to a lady, the queen named Vashti. And we find out that the king gives a commandment for his wife to come unto him. Now, in this day and hour, whenever that commandment was given, you was to come. Whenever the king said that he desires your presence, you were to put down what you were doing and whatever it was, and you were to drop that, and you were to come into the presence of the king. But Vashti decided she didn't want to listen to the commandment of the king, and she said, I'm not coming. She said, I'll not be there. So you find out in chapter number 1 that the king puts his wife Vashti away. She's gone away. She's no longer queen to the king in that position. And then we get to chapter number 2. And here's where, you find out that God has a work. And sometimes we look at situations in our life and even in this world, and sometimes in our own boundaries of the United States, and we say, I don't understand what's going on. I don't see God working in this situation. Have you ever been there? You got things going on in your life, and you say, I just don't see God at work here. God must have forgotten about me, or God must have forgotten about us. If God was such a good God, and if God was such an all-knowing God, why does He allow certain things to happen? And I'm guilty of that a lot of times. I look at certain people and say, well, Lord, why did you raise up that individual, or why did you set down that individual, or why are you doing what you're doing? But I need to understand that the Bible said God's ways aren't my ways, nor are His thoughts my thoughts. But now we see here in chapter number 2, there's a young Jew by the name of Mordecai. And the king puts out a decree, and he's looking for a new queen. He's looking for a new wife. And so they go and gather all the virgins around, and they're going to bring them unto the king, and the one that he finds favor with is going to be his new bride, going to be the queen. And Mordecai now, he's the uncle of a young lady by the name of Esther. Esther, at this point in time, the Bible tells us, didn't no longer have her mother with her, no longer had her father with her. And so Mordecai, being the uncle, was the overseer of her. And God placed it in the heart of Mordecai that he was to put Esther in position to try to be the next queen with Ahasuerus. But Mordecai said something that was interesting to me. He said, now don't you tell him you're a Jew. Don't you tell him who you are. Amen. You just go and you find that place, and we'll see what God will do concerning this matter. So we find that in chapter number 2. We find that Mordecai had set Esther in his place and told her not to tell anybody that she was a Jew. Then you find out that then God raises up, God gives favor for Esther to King Ahasuerus, and she is now pronounced the new queen. This is an amazing feat that's taking place, because we have here a young lady by the name of Esther that is now going to be queen over all the province. And we have Mordecai, her uncle, which is sitting here and has had a progress of putting her in place. Things are going pretty good for Mordecai, if you'd say that. Would you think that? I mean, sometimes in your spiritual walk, you think things are going pretty good. God's hearing my prayers. God's answering my prayers. God's moving in my life. I see God at work. Isn't it a good thing when we can see God at work? Isn't it a good thing when we see God answer prayers right before our eyes? Isn't it a good thing when you bathe something in prayer and you're asking God to do something? And isn't it a blessing when he opens up the windows of blessings and opens up those prayers and answers them for you? There ain't a soul in the house of God that ain't glad when God heareth and answereth prayers. It's one thing when God answers prayers for you, but it's another thing when God answers prayers for me. I'm glad God's still answering your prayers, but I want Him to answer some of mine along the way. So things are going real well for Mordecai. He's in position now. He's got his niece is in, she's the queen of all the land. And God has opened up those doors. And then we get to chapter number 3. And this is where we're going to take our, let me go into chapter number 2. Into chapter number 2. And this is where we're going to take our verse from in chapter 2, verse 21. Now we see that Esther's queen. We see that God has put her in her place. I'm thinking that Mordecai is pretty happy about this. Now listen what happens in chapter 2, verse number 21. The Bible said, in those days, while Mordecai sat in the king's gate, two of the king's chamberlains, Bigthan and Teresh, of those which kept the door, were wroth and sought to lay hand on the king, Ahasuerus. And the thing was known to Mordecai, who told it unto Esther the queen. And Esther certified the king thereof in Mordecai's name. And when inquisition was made of the matter, it was found out. Therefore they were both hanged on a tree, and it was written in the book of the Chronicles before the king. Now, if we just stopped right there, this was a great thing. Mordecai found out that there was going to be some evil toward the king, and this was in fact going to affect his niece, Esther. And he finds out that two of the king's men are going against the king, and they want to do harm to him. And he tells that matter to Esther the queen. Esther the queen goes to the king and tells him, and according to the scripture, all of a sudden these two are hanging. And Mordecai is having a good time because now he's got the favor of God in his life. Does this make any sense? He's probably at a spiritual high in the condition that he's in a place of bondage. He is at a spiritual high. But you get to chapter number 3 in verse number 1. The Bible said, after these things, after what things? After these two men were hung, after this was taken care of. After these things, did King Ahasuerus promote Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, and advanced him, and set his seat above all the princes that were with him. All of a sudden, everything that was going well for Mordecai, all of a sudden, everything that was in its place, all of a sudden, everything that was going good, you would not believe how the king repaid Mordecai for doing what he did and doing the right thing. Now he raises up an Agagite by the name of Haman. You say, well, what does that have anything to do? Well, if you go back to 2 Samuel, chapter number 15, you'll find out that Saul there, the king of Israel, was told to take all the Amalekites and was told to destroy every single one of them. And amen, including the women, including the men, including the children, including the livestock. And you look at that, he didn't do everything God told him to do. I'm moving fast, but I got to get to where I'm going. So now you have Haman, which is now second in control, more to say. He's got the king's blessings. And this man here is straight out of the kingdom of the Agagites. He should have never been in the place that he's in. He should have been destroyed. That seed should have been gone. See, Agag was a fleshly king. Amen. He was a fleshly king. We got a lot of fleshly kings in these last days, don't we? So we see Haman is lifted up. You say, what does that mean? He's an enemy of the Jews. He does not like the Jews. He does not want the Jews to prosper. And we're seeing something unfold here. So all of a sudden, Mordecai was doing real good spiritually. All of a sudden, God had his hand on Mordecai. God was blessing him. God was answering his prayers. And now God did the unthinkable. He raised up one of the greatest enemies of the Jews there was in this day and this hour, and the king, and promoted him in control. You say, well, that really, let me ask you something. Have you ever lived in the power and the presence of God and him blessing you and showing favor toward you? And you couldn't do nothing wrong. You couldn't say anything wrong. You couldn't do, and all of a sudden, the unthinkable happens. And you start saying, where's God at now? Lord, you did all this back in chapter 1 and chapter 2. And now we got this going on. What's going on? What's happening? I want to preach on this thought. Discouraged, but not defeated. Discouraged, but not defeated. Brother Gary, you prayed that very thing this morning as you prayed. You prayed. You said, Lord, there may be some people that come in the house of God today that are discouraged. And boy, the Holy Ghost spoke to my heart and said, you got the right message. Amen. I believe God uses folk along the way to say things and to pray things and to do things. And the Holy Ghost will say, you got the right one. What do you do when you get discouraged? I want you to think about that. You ever been discouraged spiritually? Anybody in the house of God ever been discouraged spiritually? I'm telling you, that is a sad, sad place, is to live in the shadow of discouragement. I mean, God, we as God's people, let's be honest now, we want to live in the glory. We want the power of God to fall upon every service that we have. We want every one of our prayers to be answered. Not only answered, but we want them answered right now. We want to have the favor of God. We want to have the hand of God. We want to have the power of God. But there comes a time, church, that you go through some dry places and it ain't there. And it's not because you've sinned. It's not because you've done wrong. Sometimes it is, and if it is, you know it and God knows it. But it ain't always the case that you go through dry times. It's not always sinful times. There is a discouraging time. You look around and say, God, I don't see what you're doing. God, I don't understand what's going on. I mean, I am literally in a tumble here trying to figure out, God, what's happening. I don't know if you've ever been there, but I'm telling you, if you have, it's some discouraging times serving God. Be honest. Well, preacher, I thought when you got saved, everything. I'm telling you what, I've had a whole lot more happy days in the Lord than I have discouraging days, but I have come through some deep valleys of discouragement. You can't say nothing right. You can't do nothing right. Every time you try to do something, somebody says something negative about it. When you spiritually become discouraged, what do you do? I mean, what's the answer? Is there a special pill that I can take that my discouragement is all of a sudden going to be gone? No. Is there a special drink I can drink that my discouragement will be gone? Is there can I feel my discouragement with Moose Tracks ice cream until it goes away? No. Church, discouragement is a lonely place. Discouragement is a lonely place. Would you think Mordecai was discouraged? You see, now we got Haman comes along and Mordecai is sitting at the gate, at the king's gate. Mordecai comes along and everybody stands up and gives obeisance to Haman. Mordecai won't. Amen. I mean, in the midst of discouragement, he still wouldn't bow down to wickedness, and I thank God for that. And this made Haman upset, Haman mad, and so Haman goes to the king. And I've got a lot of reading, you read these chapters yourself. I'm going to go over them real quickly because I need to get to the meat of the thought. But we have Haman coming by, and Haman goes up to the king, and he asks the king. He said, now there's something going on. There's some people out there that's not for us. They're against us. He said, we need to have something in writing that we can go ahead and take care of all these people. He was talking about Mordecai. Amen. He was talking about, but what he didn't know was he was talking about the queen's uncle. Amen. I can't want to get ahead of myself. But I mean, Mordecai is disturbed. He is discouraged. And I understand how we use the word defeat, but I want you to hear this well. God's people are never defeated. Amen. I have used the terminology that I feel like I'm defeated. Now, in this flesh, I may be defeated, but spiritually, God's people are never defeated. Never. Amen. We might get discouraged. We might get despondent. We might get all these other things that start with D. But I mean, spiritually, inside my soul, I'm doing pretty good this morning. I will not be defeated. When Jesus said, hey, I'm going to build, he said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. What he's saying is, no matter how discouraged you get, spiritually you're doing fine. You'll not be defeated. There's a part of me this morning that the devil himself cannot reach. There's a part of me this morning the devil himself cannot touch. There's a part of me this morning, I'm sealed until the day of redemption. It's the place where the living God and the power of the Holy Spirit lives within inside of me. He guides me and controls me and convicts me and loves on me. And amen, does whatever he wants to do to me. And there ain't a thing the devil can do about it. But in the midst of that, there's times I get discouraged. And my guess is probably that Mordecai was discouraged. Did you know the word defeat is only found twice in the Bible? Both of them are found in the book of 2 Samuel, I believe it is, and both of them are talking about Ahithophel's counsel. Amen. Both times you see the word defeat. The word defeated is not in the Word of God. But defeat is only found twice, and it's talking about the counsel of a wicked counselor, Ahithophel. So I just got to figuring, if God said we was going to be defeated, he'd probably put in the Word of God and say, there's going to come times in your life, spiritually you're going to be defeated, but God said it's an impossibility. You cannot be spiritually defeated. I'm not understand what I'm saying, but I can sure get discouraged. And I can get discouraged to such a place that I feel like I'm defeated. I've been so discouraged in my life in certain times that if I could even find a place to pray, if I could, whenever I'd get in that place, it felt like I wasn't getting through to nobody. It felt like God had His hands over His ears and wasn't even listening to a thing that I said. I've been so discouraged sometimes in the ministry and in my own life that it just feels like God is nowhere to be seen. I would even admit to this congregation this morning, there have been times that I have bowed my head and even cried out to God and say, God, are You even there? God, do You hear me? Lord, are You even present in this situation? And I mean to tell you, there's times I have not got an answer on the other end of that prayer. And I've left my prayer closet defeated. I've left my place of prayer defeated, thinking God has forgot about me and God hasn't heard my prayer and God's not working in my life. I've opened up the Word of God and tried to study and get something to preach. And preacher, you've probably been through the same thing and can't get a good word from the Lord. You're on the hours from taking the pulpit saying, God, if You don't give me something, hey man, it's going to be for naught. And God, I've got to hear from You. And there's times it just feels like the water's been cut off. You get discouraged. You get in the pulpit, preacher, and you try your best to encourage folk, but you're so discouraged yourself, you can't encourage others. Sometimes you Sunday school teachers, you're so discouraged within yourself. How can you be an encouragement to others when you're discouraged yourself? Mordecai sat at the gate and Haman comes by and he wouldn't bow down to him. Haman goes to the king and he makes a decree and says, all these need to be killed. They're our enemies. They're not for us. They need to be killed. Amen. He hears the news that Haman's been raised up to be the second in command. It's bothered him to in his soul because he knows he's the enemy of the Jews. What are you going to do? Church, what are you going to do when you get so discouraged and you just want to give up? Anybody ever got that way spiritually? You said, this ain't even worth it anymore. This ain't even worth it. I probably ain't preaching anybody this morning but myself. But I bid to say there's some in here that you've been so discouraged, you said, you know what, I ain't even going back. Well, that's a sad place when you get, I'm just going to quit praying. I ain't going to pray no more. Take that Bible home in discouraging times, lay it on the table. Not once to pick it up. Not one time throughout the course of the week do I pick it up. Hey, I ain't getting nothing from it anyway. Man, you kind of go to work and you got your head hung down. Folk come up to you. And can I say this? It's not hard for people to tell when people are discouraged. Then you come in and man, folk ain't laughing like they used to laugh and they ain't happy like they used to be happy. And man, they just ain't got that good Holy Ghost spirit rumbling, you know, just really moving. And people come up and say, what's wrong? Ain't nothing wrong. What's going on? Something just ain't the same. Ain't nothing going on. Y'all been there, haven't you? What you gonna do? I'll tell you what we could do. Now, I'm preaching not only this crowd, but maybe this goes on the radio and many others will hear this out on the radio broadcast. We could just go ahead and just close our Bibles today. We could just sit them on the pew. We could get up out of here, walk out the doors, get in our cars, lock the doors, turn the lights off, call Duke Power, whoever it is, and say, just cut the power off. We won't be needing it no more. Just go ahead and close the doors up, get in our cars, go home. And we can just go ahead and say, you know what? I quit. I'm so discouraged. I'm just going to quit. Let me take about 10 minutes. I'm going to show you what Mordecai did. Here's what Mordecai did. Now, he was discouraged, y'all. He had God's children in his best interest. He had God's children. This wasn't about Mordecai. You'll never read in the Word of God where Mordecai prints it anything that is up to him. Everything is about God's people. Can I just show you in the Scripture? I don't want to tell you. I want to show you in the Scripture what Mordecai did when he got discouraged. Amen. Here's the first thing Mordecai did when he got discouraged. Look at verse 2 of chapter 3. And all the king's servants that were in the king's gate bowed and reverenced Haman, for the king had so commanded concerning him. Though the king said, you're supposed to bow down to him. The king said, whenever he comes around, you're supposed to bow down to him. That's what you're supposed to do. But Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence. The first thing Mordecai did in the midst of discouragement was he stayed. He stayed. He stayed. What do you mean he stayed? He stayed at the king's gate. He knew that he already got the news on what was going on. He already seen what was happening. He already figured out that there is a great enemy that wants to demolish the Jewish nation. But he stayed. Can I say this? And you take this in whatever capacity you want to take this in this morning. Running's not always the answer. Leaving's not always the answer. Now there comes a time you just got to do what God says do in your workplace. There's probably people you work with, and in all honesty, you just don't care to be around them. Is that true? I mean, it's not that you hate them, you just don't want to be around them. And we say this to ourselves, man, if I could only get another job. If I could only get another job, I could leave that crowd and I wouldn't have anything to worry about. I could really enjoy my being a Christian if I could. And then you go get another job and it's the same people, just different faces. I'm honest with you. It's the same exact people, they just got different names and different faces. Leaving and running is not always the answer. Where was Mordecai going to run to? He had already invested. His niece was in the house. His family was in place. Listen to me. He stayed. He stayed. Not only that, so he stays at the gate of the king's house. But not only that, look at chapter 4, verse 1. When Mordecai perceived all that was done, now the decree went out to kill them all. When Mordecai perceived all that was done, Mordecai rent his clothes and put on sackcloth with ashes and went out into the midst of the city and cried with a loud and bitter cry. Brethren, not only did he stay, but I want you to know he prayed. He prayed. It moved him to such a place that the Bible said, Brother Keith, he went and he rent all of his clothes, he put on sackcloth, and that day and that hour, praying time was at hand. Praying time was at hand. He could not stand at the king's gate or king's gate with sackcloth and ash on. He couldn't do it. But he goes and he begins to fast and he begins to pray. And I don't know what he prayed, but in my mind, it's something about, God, I don't know what you're doing. I am just so out of myself. I don't know what's going on, but I will not leave. I will stay because thou art my God. And thou art able. I may not feel like it all the time. And I may not feel the presence of God. And I may not know what God's doing. But I'm going to stay at the king's gate. And when it comes to praying time, I'm going to pray. Church, listen to me. Praying is the greatest tool that we possess. Our key to a victorious Christian life is through the avenue of prayer. But yet it's the most seldom used avenue that we have. Because I've already told you, sometimes you get so discouraged, you just want to quit praying. Don't quit now. Stay by the gate. Pray. One thing's for sure, son. Mordecai wasn't going to fix the problem. He'd already done as much as he could do. Hear me now. He'd done as much as he could do. Miss Julia, he took his niece and put her in the king's chamber. God give favor. Now she's the preacher, I'm discouraged. What do I do? Stay by the gate. Pray. Amen. Can I say sometimes that's all we can do? Sometimes all we can do is say, Lord, I don't know what's going on, but I love you. How long has it been since you told God you loved him? We just sang the song, talk about we love him because he first loved us. How long has it been since you breathed those words? Say, God, I love you. He told, I'm getting ahead of myself, I need to hurry, but he told Queen Esther there, he said, I want you to understand one thing. He said, God has raised you up for such a time as this. And she said, you know what? She said, he told her, I want you to go before the king. He said, I want you to go before the king, and I want you to tell him what's going on. And he said, God has raised you up for such a time as this. And she said, you know what? She said, if that's what we're supposed to do, she said, if I perish, I perish. But I'll go. And we know how the Bible tells us that you didn't just go to the king anytime you wanted to go to the king. You had to have the favor of the king, and he had to extend his golden scepter. And when he extended the golden scepter, that gave you leeway to enter into the king, and you could make your petitions known. So if she went into the king, if he did not receive her, if he did not want her, then she's going to die. Plain and simple. It ain't just simple, if I perish, I perish. But I mean, she was literally going to die. But she helped carry the burden. She knew her uncle. She knew that her uncle was in bad shape. She knew that her uncle was discouraged. Yeah. You got anybody you love that's discouraged? You got anybody that you really love dearly that's just discouraged? What's the best thing you can do for them? Go to the king on their behalf. She said, Mordecai, you're my uncle, and you've done good for me, and you've helped me, and you've worked some things out in my life, and you're discouraged. And if it's worth it, if this will help you get undiscouraged, I'll go to the king on your behalf. So she comes out into the court, and the king sees her. And all of a sudden, he extends that golden scepter out. Esther walks in, and she lets her petition be made known unto the king. Can I say this, something about Mordecai? We need to remember this. Because when we read there in chapter number 2, Mordecai told the king everything. He put it down, everything that happened. And amen, I want you to know there's some things you've done that God has not forgot about. There's some things you've done by faith that God has not forgot about. There's some things you've done for His honor and for His glory that the Lord Jesus Christ has not forgot about. The first thing he did was he prayed, or he stayed. The second thing he did was he prayed. Then you get to chapter number 4, verse number 9. And Hatak came and told Esther the words of Mordecai. And again, Esther spake unto Hatak and gave him commandment unto Mordecai. You read on down for the course of time. You read on down. And she says, here's what we're going to do. Verse 16. She said, go, talking to Mordecai, go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast for me and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go unto the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish. Verse 17. So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. She said, here's what we're going to do. If I'm going to go to the king on your behalf, she said, you're going to have to pray and fast for me. So not only Mordecai stayed and he prayed, but beloved, he also obeyed. He did what he was told to do. He is to the place that he is discouraged. Everything is going down the tube, if I can put it that way. But Esther said, you do this. Not only did he obey her because she was his niece, but he obeyed her because she is the queen. Hallelujah. So he goes and he fasts and he prays. She goes before the king. I've already told you, and everything works out. Let me give you this last point. What you going to do when you get discouraged? Well, you need to stay. You need to pray. You need to obey. Then you get to chapter number 6. Turn with me, if you will, chapter number 6. Now we find out what goes on. You say, preacher, I just think God's forgot about me. It's been a long time since I've heard from the Lord. I'm as discouraged spiritually as I've been in a long, long time. You reckon God still remembers me? Remember, God's still on the throne. He stayed, he prayed, and he obeyed. Then you get to chapter number 6. Look at verse number 1. On that night could not the king sleep. All right? And he commanded to bring the book of records of the Chronicles, and they were read before the king. He said, this is an amazing thing. Just so happens on this night before the great massacre, just so happens, the king can't sleep. He said, I can't sleep. Read me the word of God. Verse 2. And it was found written that Mordecai had told of Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's chamberlains, the keepers of the door, who sought to lay hand on the king Ahasuerus. And the king said, now in the middle of the night, he can't sleep. Get ready to marry. All this is going on. He can't sleep. And the king said, what honor and dignity have been done to Mordecai for this? He said, what did we do for him? He did this good for us. What did we do for him? They said, nothing. There's going to come a time in your walk with the Lord. Listen now. Sometimes you in your most discouraging times of your life. And the Lord said, let's go ahead and make this thing right on what He did some time ago. In the middle of the night, in the darkest of the night, the king couldn't sleep. He said, bring me the Word of God. They read the Word of God to him. Tells about the account how Mordecai saved the king's life. And the king said, what did we do for him? They said, we ain't done nothing for him. Then look what the Bible says. Then said, verse 3, then said the king's servants, minister unto him, there's nothing done for him. And the king said, who's in the court? Now Haman was coming to the outward court of the king's house to speak unto the king to hang Mordecai on the gallows. He prepared gallows. He prepared his own gallows to hang Mordecai. He had every intention on hanging Mordecai. Mordecai hadn't done nothing wrong. Mordecai had only listened to God. Mordecai had only been faithful to God. Mordecai had only served God. And here now the enemy wants to hang him. Don't that sound like somebody you know? Hey man, the enemy just wants to hang you. Hey. But the king said, what are we going to do for him? He said, who's that out in the court? What's Haman doing in the middle of the night coming out to the king's house in the court? What's he hanging around the king's house for in the middle of the court? It's for no good. Can I tell you that the enemy, amen, sometimes out on the outward skirts of these walls, the enemy still hangs around and it's good for nothing. Sometimes on the outward skirts of these walls, the enemy's just watching around and he's hanging around in the courts and it is for nothing but for hang you. Look what the Bible said, verse 5. And king's servant said unto him, behold, Haman standeth in the court. And the king said, let him come in. So Haman came in, and the king said unto him, what shall be done unto the man whom the king delighteth to honor? Oh, now Haman thought in his heart, to whom would the king delight to do more honor than to myself? Ain't that sometimes, ain't that how we feel? Haman, ain't nobody like me in the work of God. Ain't nobody as good as me in the work of God. I'm the greatest of them all. There's that spirit in the world in these last days. People standing up thinking God owes them something for them serving. God don't owe us nothing. We owe God everything. We ought to bless His holy name that we're even called and able to stand and even read and proclaim the good word of God. So Haman says, oh. Well, I can get this picture in my mind. Haman answered the king, oh, for the man whom the king delighteth to honor. If you could put yourself in that shoes, what would you have said? Think about that. He's thinking, everything he's saying, he's thinking is coming to him. He said, let the royal apparel be brought which the king useth to wear, and the horse that the king rideth upon, and the crown royal which is set upon the king's head, and the king upon his head, and let this apparel and horse be delivered to the hand of the one, the king's most noble princes, that they may array the man with all whom the king delighteth to honor, and bring him on horseback through the street of the city, and proclaim him, thus shall it be done to the man the king delighteth to honor. He said, here's what I'd do. He said, I'd take your crown off and put it on his head. I'd take your ring off and put it on his hand. I'd take that cloak off and put it on him. I'd get me a big old Clydesdale, and I'd jump up on the back of that thing, and I'd lead him through the city. That's what I'd do. King said, good idea. Boy, Haman, son, he's thinking, boy, I've got it now. Can you see this? He says, ha! I'm the man. But I sure am glad God's got it all under control. Bible says, verse 10, then the king said to Haman, make haste. Take the apparel. Can you see this now? Take the apparel. And he's like, yeah, the apparel. Not only that, but I want you to take the horse. Okay, the horse, the apparel. As thou hast said. Yes, sir, that's what I said. That's what I said. Horse, apparel, I got it. And do even so to Mordecai the Jew. Can I remind you that he stayed? That sitteth at the king's gate. If he didn't stay, he'd have never been at the gate to receive what the king had for him. Let nothing fail of all that thou hast spoken. What do you do? What do you do when you're discouraged? Be like Mordecai, he stayed. Be like Mordecai, he prayed. Be like Mordecai, he obeyed. Be like Mordecai and be displayed. What do you mean displayed? This ain't all about Mordecai. No. Him being displayed through the streets of the city wasn't anything to do with Mordecai. It was to do with Mordecai's God. Him coming through the streets of the city had nothing to do with Mordecai as much as it did Mordecai's God. There are times in this thing of serving God, you get so discouraged. And the easiest thing to do is just stop. Can I remind this congregation that in my best day I'm a man? And chances real good somewhere along the way I'm going to let you down. But in return, there's going to be some days you're going to let me down too. But can I remind you that there's a God that has never let anybody down. Never. Mordecai sat at that gate and didn't understand why God was doing what he was doing. Mordecai sat at that gate and didn't understand why he was going through what he was going through. Mordecai sat at that gate and didn't understand what, if God even knew where he was anymore. But can you imagine when old Haman walked out there? Haman did it. Haman's the one that had to give it to him, the enemy. And he walks out and he says, "Stand up, boy. Stand up." He says, he said, "King said, put this on me. King said, put that on you. Go ahead and put that on, son. See if it'll fit you." Amen. "King said, put that on you. I don't have a crown, but King said, put this crown on you." Now listen. Well, there's some good days left in serving God, y'all. You let discouragement get a hold of you this morning, you quit, you're going to miss out on something good. Puts that crown on him. Amen. Puts that ring on him. "Get up on there, boy." He reaches up there, hops in. The next thing you know, "Just follow me." And they say, "Who's that?" "It's Mordecai. Jew." You think he had a smile on his face? "Thank you, son. Give him a coat, man. Amen. Thank you. I'm going to tell you something. You may be in a time right now where you ain't smiled in a long time. For real. You may have to put on some fake smiles. Can I tell you what? There's coming a day when you ain't going to be able to hide it. There's coming a day when God displays you and you doing the right thing the right way and following God and obeying God and praying and sticking with the stuff that God displays you to all the world. I don't know why in the world God in heaven would lay this thought on my soul for this service this morning, but God does. Discouraged, but not defeated.
God's love and prayer for sinners still our God makes all things new.
Thank you for joining us for today's Pulpit Hour, brought to you by The Preaching Channel. To listen to this message once again in its entirety, for a free download of this message or a variety of any other messages, or to listen to preaching 24 hours a day, you can visit The Preaching Channel at WGCRpreaching.net. If you don't have download capabilities, feel free to call and order a CD copy of today's message at 828-884-9427.